الحمد لله، بسم الله والحمد لله، وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اتقى، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيف حالكم اليوم؟ الحمد لله. We are here today and we are doing Surah to Yusuf again. And we are listing the 100 different fawaid, you know, and from this surah, more than 100. Okay, so I hope you guys have been keeping the number up. We ended with ayah 24 yesterday. لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ سُوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مُخْلَصِينَ. So now we're going to start off with the next ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wastabaqal bab wa qaddat qamisahu min duburin wa alfa ya sayyidaha ladal bab. Qalat ma jaza. أن يسجن إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. How quickly Yusuf tried to get out of there. واستبق الباب shows that Yusuf, when he saw he was in such a situation, a woman is exposing herself, saying, hey, Talak, come and get it. He's in this very compromising situation. What does he do? He runs. He runs to get out of there. Before she can get on him and chest him, and he might fall victim to that or get caught in that situation and it look really bad. Imagine if he didn't run out and she would have jumped on him. What's the proof that she would have jumped on him? The fact that she chased him and ripped his shirt, was pulling on his clothes, and ripped his shirt from behind, shows that if he'd have stayed there, what if she'd have grabbed him from the front, and she'd have ripped his shirt from the front? It would have looked a lot differently. So he turned away from her and ran. That's the first baraka. To turn and run when you're in a compromising situation like zina. That's one. She chased him. She rips his shirt. She's pulling him. Showing her desire, her determination. This is the second baraka. Her determination to have her way with him that day. She had set up the situation. Today is the day. I'm going to get him. Okay? Okay? Today's the day. And so even if he ran away, he's got nowhere to go, she thinks. And she pulls at his shirt from behind. She's going to do it anyway. Okay? Stabaq al-bab. Then the part here, وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبَرٍ. That shows that she ripped the shirt before she got to the door. Then Al-Faya, both of them, run smack into her husband, his master at that time, لَدَ الْبَابِ. And then how quickly she flipped it and threw him under the bus. Okay? The first thing she did, he doesn't speak. Husband doesn't speak. Yusuf doesn't speak. She says, Ma jaza, what should happen? She throws him and changes the situation to save her own self in front of her husband. She immediately tosses him under. So it shows that those people who are women, we're talking about, who invite to zina, if they get caught, what has been this sunnah is to throw the man under the bus. And as an African American, I'm just putting my book down here, we've seen this happen in numerous times in American culture, whereas when white women would be tempted by black men who were either their slaves or just black men and what do you call it, the apartheid situation of America, Jim Crow apartheid. And if they inclined, the man inclined to that situation and they got caught, 90% of the time, the white woman threw them under the bus. The black man winds up getting lynched and seen as being raped. Now, that's not just then. It happens even now. Okay? Here in Saudi Arabia, for a long time, the drivers were getting their heads chopped off for raping the girls in the cars. And 100% of the time, the men were claiming, I didn't rape her. We were driving around. She enticed me until it became such a thing that now the Saudi government says, don't let them drive alone. If they drive alone, we're not going to accept the claim of rape. Because it's happened too much. Okay? They have zina. They get caught. They throw the man and say, he raped me. He took it. He forced it. That's another fight. Alhamdulillah, Yusuf understood this beforehand, and he tried to get out of there. Okay? So I hope you wrote that fight down. That when approached by a woman with zina, turn your back and run and get out of there. Especially if you're in a compromising situation. She said either that he gets put in prison or he should get a painful punishment. Okay, here's a guy that she was in love with, right? That she was infatuated with. She wanted him put in prison or tortured for not succumbing to her desires. Okay, now the next one. Qala hiya rawadatni an nafsi. And so the third one is, or the next one is, to speak up when you're accused and someone tells a lie in front of you. Speak up right then and there. So Yusuf spoke up right then and there. Here, what Rabbi, that's me on Nefsi. He immediately put up the claim. Yo, this is a lie. He didn't call her a liar, though. He put up the truth. This is what happened. Okay, so we have a point here. When someone accuses you in front of some people or something, immediately state the truth and about what your situation is. Don't wait and don't say anything. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. The next point is that the shahada of a relative against another relative is stronger than the shahada of a stranger against another stranger. Okay? The shahada of a relative against his relative is one amongst the strongest proofs against that person. Okay? Because normally a relative will not, even if they know, tell the truth against their relative. But if they do, then it's kind of blatant. Okay? Right? The next one is that it's said that it was a young boy, a child, and other ulama, they said it was an old man, Dhulihya. So there's ikhtilaf amongst the mufassirun as to who it was. Okay? But it, since it was in the masculine, it's a man, a boy or a man who said the words. The ones that said it was an old man, older man in her, from her family, those ulama say that this is the strongest statement. The reason why they said it, because this is not written down as one of the ones, the children who spoke. But the others say it wasn't a child, it was a young boy from her family who was staying with her, and he said it. Either way, no one knows for sure. Both have been said. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Okay. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنَّ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. So here is another point here. فَلَمَّا رَأَى. I told you about the word رَأَى. You know, with a fatha and a alif. So we see here, where's it at? Falamma ra'a. If you can see that here, it's ra'a. So ra'a with a Hamza and Alif means physically saw, as I said previously. Okay, as opposed to ru'ya, ayn, hissiya, from the senses, not ra'a with the qalb. You know, ra'a ma kathib al fu'ada ma ra'a. That's from the heart. Okay, so he says here, this is a very powerful ayah. From the sense of they saw that his shirt was ripped from the behind, first thing he said, qala inna kayda kunna azim. So the husband says, your plots, you women's plots, are azim. But the fact that Allah dictates it to us in the Quran that the kayd of the women is azim and doesn't denounce it, along with the fact that Allah says in the Quran, inna kayda shaytana kana da'ifan, that the kayd of shaytan, the plots of shaytan, are weak. It always is, was, and always will be weak, because he really has just what three things he does, you know. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this shows the greatness and the severity and the complicatedness of the plots of women. Okay, and so it's something that we should be aware of, how complicated the women are. Okay, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. The next thing, the next thing the ulama say is that at this point, the point is that the husband, the Aziz, is a weak man. He's a weak man. He has no muru'a, no manhood, no chivalry. And in fact, the one that's really running the castle is his wife. Okay, because he doesn't do what a man should have done under these circumstances, okay, which was restrict his wife from ever dealing with Yusuf again, get Yusuf away from there, and even out of the house, because now, you know, even if he likes Yusuf, he can't have him around his wife, and he can't have give his wife the same freedom to move around and do what she wants, or to have control, further control and interaction with this young man. But he does none of those things. Okay, he doesn't even severely check her. Okay, restricts her not. So this shows the lack of his muru'ah. So the qa'idah, the principle, the thing to learn is that a man has to show muru'ah, manhood, chivalry, when it comes to the dignity, his own dignity, and the honor of his family. And, you know, so that if his wife is caught making zina, he should at very least restrict his wife from dealing with that man and keep his wife from doing anything like that anymore and make sure that she's not given the freedom to do that and get that man away from her. Okay, so that's one of the points here. The other point is, he says, Yusuf, a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, just turn away from him. Just don't overlook it. That's a weak, just think about it. Oh, overlook it. Don't do nothing. You know, don't be upset. Doesn't do anything. Okay. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكِ إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. He does check her and say, you were wrong. Okay. And so there is insaf to some degree that he says you are right and he doesn't punish Yusuf. Okay. See the qaida. He doesn't punish Yusuf, which is good. Yusuf did nothing to be punished. In fact, he should be rewarded. Okay. And her, at least he says to her, you were wrong. So to say who is right and wrong is a qaida. When you see something happening, it is a rule. You should say who is right and you should say who is wrong. You should declare who is right and wrong. Some of the ulama stop here and say that when we talk about this particular ayah, we have to take into consideration idhami jamali Yusuf, how handsome Yusuf was. And the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that Yusuf qad utiya nisful husni, that the hadith, authentic narration, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Yusuf was utiya, was given half, okay, or shatrul husni, I'm sorry, shatrul husni. He was given a portion of beauty. And then the sharh, the explanation of the hadith says half the beauty that the world was getting. Some say a fourth of the beauty of the world. Okay, so it's an argument of how much beauty Yusuf was given. Was it a fourth? Was it half? Allahu alam. Okay, But the point here is to recognize from this surah how handsome Yusuf actually was. He was so handsome that you could consider him irresistible. Okay? So that's something to take into consideration. The next point is,
وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين.
Again, one of the first point I want to say is the repetitive mention of ضلال مبين or ضلال throughout the surah. Okay, that someone is dalal, they're off it. The usage of this term for someone who's doing something that may not be wrong, but will be considered wrong by others. Some cases it's wrong, some cases it's not wrong. Right now she is dalal and mubin. She's clearly astray. But when they said it about Yaqub, he was dalal and mubin. It's not true. Okay, so not beautiful, extremely handsome. Women are considered beautiful, men are considered handsome. Even in Arabic, we call it Jamal, but when it's referred to men, we call it Wissam. Okay? He is Wasim. Okay? That's the term. Okay? And for women, Jameel. Naam, okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khayya Ammar. The next thing here is that how quick the principle is, how quick the women were to spread the news and to make a ruling on her before they even talked to her. Okay, how swift the women moved to draw a ruling on her when they heard the news. They, number one, spread it. Okay, number two, they got together and made a ruling, and they had never even spoken to her. Okay, so it's what they call it. Sur'atu shi'a'atu nisa bil akhbar is how they named it. How quick women are to spread gossip and to draw a negative ruling against each other. This goes to the principle that I say sometimes when I'm dealing with women, how women are more misogynistic against each other than men are. Okay? Women are more critical in trying to pull down another woman than men are. And so that's what we see through practice, through tatabbur al-umur. Okay? Spread negative news around and to draw a ruling and to be critically and draw a ruling against one of their own. Okay? You see, they didn't say anything bad about Yusuf. You notice that. Even though, why they say, oh, he tried to make zina with her or whatever, you know, they didn't say anything. They just left that alone. Okay, the other point is that فَلَمَّا سَمِيَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. So here it shows this part. So when she heard them, she heard about what they were saying, she sent them an invitation. What does this show? It shows how witty Zuleika, the wife of the Aziz, and how conniving she actually was. Okay? She was so slick, she had already determined a plan to uproot their plot against her. Okay, as soon as she heard they had made a plot again, she sent them all an invitation. Beautiful invitation. Come on over to my house. And she set it up with the knives and gave them all knives. Knives. She could have given them something like water to spill on themselves, but she gave them knives to make a point. Okay, so this is how vindictive Miss Aziza, the Zuleika, the wife of the Aziz, was. How witty she was, how quick her wit was to take revenge on these women in a very vicious way. Okay, so he said,
وأعتدت لهن متكئا وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا.
We finished with that point. Please put it that point down there, Ammar.
وقال تخرج عليهن.
And then she told him, get out. You know, do the model walk. Get out there and walk in front of them. So from this point, the ulama mentioned how even though Yusuf did not want to go and expose his handsomeness to them, because he was a slave, it was wajib for him to go out there. Okay? This shows that Yusuf's lack of control over his situation, even though he was treated well for a long time in that house, he was still a slave. And he had no authority to refuse. And so he had to walk out in front of them, even though he knows they're gawking at him like a piece of meat, you know, looking at him, trying to see, you know, like I said, eye screwing him, okay? With their eyes, okay? And, you know, then to see how beautiful Yusuf actually was. He was so handsome that they cut themselves without even feeling it, because they were so engrossed in his gorgeous handsomeness, right? That they cut themselves and didn't even feel it, okay, till after. Oh, my goodness, wow, I cut myself. And cut themselves deeply and cut themselves multiple times, some of them. Those who didn't cut themselves deeply cut themselves multiple times. قَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. But all 40 women, the 41 women, all 40 women cut themselves.
فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ.
I went ahead of myself, okay?
وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ.
They said حَاشَ لِلَّهِ when they cut, after they had cut themselves. Ooh. حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. May Allah forbid. Okay. مَا هَذَا بَشَرٌ. This ain't no man.
إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا Malikun Kareem,
a noble angel. This goes back. I jumped ahead of myself with the points. And this goes back to the Idhame Jamal and Yusuf. This talks about how handsome, how great the beauty of Yusuf was. Okay. That they all women were enthralled and attracted to him and put under a spell when they saw him, the irresistibleness, that they cut themselves without even realizing it because of the great beauty that Yusuf had, but you don't have to repeat that point.
So then she says, وَذَا قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِهِ فِيهِ وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ.
How women, when they, the point here is, how women, Were Khajar, how women, when they are with themselves, amongst themselves, openly admit to their foolishness, to their level of, how can we say, deviance. Because here she says, once she sees that they have agreed, right? Oh, you guys see, for that, that's the one that y'all was blaming me about. Yeah, girl. Oh, yeah. And so they, when she sees the agreement, all right. Yeah, I did it. And if he doesn't stop and obey me right now, if he doesn't do it now, I'm going to lock him up. I'm going to get him. Okay? I'm going to bring him low. Okay? So you see that, you know, right, amongst themselves, they'll admit to their deviant plots in there and their scheming and things amongst themselves, but not in front of men, okay? Or not in front of anyone that they think can do anything about it, because Yusuf is there. He can't do anything about it. So, you know, he's just a victim. So here,
قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ.
So here we see that what is upon a person, any person
وفاينز تعرض عليه إليه فتنة أو الحرام. Any person that's exposed to a fitna or something haram, he should yalji'u, he should immediately turn to Allah in du'a. Okay, in du'a. You know, this is the first thing. There's one sheikh, he's a student of mine actually, but he's a sheikh, beautiful qira'ah, Abdul Rashid is his name, and he recites in the qira'ah of Ya'qub, beautiful qira'ah. He was giving a lecture the other day, and he said, if people would just understand this the longest word in the Qur'an, فَسَيَكْفِيكُمُ اللَّهُ. Okay, it's the longest word in the Qur'an. It's a compound word. I remember when I learned this, we were in Mauritania, and we were in like my first Azim, and we were breaking words down, like four of us in a tent, like two American guys, two guys from Maghreb or Jazair, I forget how it was exactly. And we broke the word fali fa yasak wa sayakfikumullah. The word is kafin. There's two word letters in there. But the rest of it is prefixes and suffixes, but it becomes the longest word in the Quran, which means Allah will suffice you. Okay? Allah will, without doubt, be kafin, sufficient for you. All you have to do is turn to Allah and ask. Okay? So here, the principle is that whenever a person is exposed to a fitna or something haram, he should, just like Yusuf ran out of there, he ran to make dua. And he said, Rabbi, qala Rabbi, because remember, when he's saying this right after she says, he gonna do what I said, or I'm gonna lock him up, or I'm gonna beat his butt, I'm gonna hurt him, I'm gonna do something to him, I'm gonna bring him in, and yakul minat sagirin, I'm gonna bring him low, I'm gonna humiliate him. That's what sagirin means, bring him low. He says, he responds, Rabbi, my Lord, the prison is better for me. I prefer, not that I love the prison, but I prefer prison over what they are calling me to do. Okay? And if you don't help me, okay, I fear for myself. Okay? I might fall victim to them. Okay? And what I couldn't in al jahileen and just be ignorant. So the humanness, the next thing is the humanness of Yusuf with regards to himself. He doesn't see himself holy, super, you know, religious, that I am so good that I will not fall victim to crimes, to sins. No, he recognizes his humanness and his ability to fall victim to sin, just like everyone else, were it not for the help of Allah. So he doesn't rely upon himself. There's the principle. He does not rely upon himself. We do not rely upon our religiousness. We do not rely upon our knowledge. We do not rely upon the fact that he's a da'i, he's a prophet, he's a talib al-ilm. Oh, I'm saved. None of the prophets feel they're saved. But he turns to and relies upon tawakkal ala Allah. Okay, well, that'll kill me, let nafsi tarfata'in. Don't leave me to my own devices for the blinking of an eye. And how does he do that? Through dua. Okay, turn to Allah and he makes dua, acknowledging his humanness, his human weakness, especially if you want to say in that way. The next point is فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبَّهُ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. Look who turned the plot away from him. Not Yusuf. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُ. So Allah, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. So his Lord responded to him. So we see again that Allah says, you know, the principle here is Allah has already promised us in the Quran that he says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. I respond to the call, the dua of the one who's calling on me, إِذَا, when he called, the moment he calls on me. Okay? So we see that Allah responds to the call. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Thank you very much. Okay? So we see that he responds to the dua. He made the dua. He tawakkal Allah, didn't trust in himself, turned to Allah. Allah immediately responded. And Allah fasarafa. So then he, Allah, sarafa anhu kaydahun. So again, another principle. Allah turned their plot away from him, not Yusuf. Those who turn around and say, well, Yusuf, you know, got away from their plot, have misunderstood. It was Allah, and Allah declares it. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. Allah responded to Yusuf's dua. What Yusuf did, he took by the asbab, he made dua to the one that can stop this from happening. He's a slave, okay? He's a slave in a castle with a bunch of 41 rich women with power. He had no ability. He couldn't even stop them from sending him out there to walk in front of them or from them gawking at him. How did he save himself from their plot? He turned to the one that could, and that's Allah. And Allah, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُمْ كَيْدَهُمْ كَانْ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَمِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. What did he say here? Let me go back. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ الْعَلِيمُ. Innahu huwa sami'u, and my daughter laughed at me. Anyway. First, yani, huwa sami'u al-alim. He is the one that hears and knows everything. And next point is that Allah is, next principle that we can learn from this surah, is that Allah, because he says, innahu huwa. This ta'kid, emphasizing the fact that Allah is a sami'u al-alim. He hears and knows everything. Okay? ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيُسْجَنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. The next principle is that when you listen to the ayah, you have to realize it says, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ. Who's whom? Who is the lahum? All those men, all those rich men, all those powerful wuzara and leaders and governors and the ones who were the husbands of those wives, okay? Once they found out what happened to their wives' hands got caught looking at some other guy, right? Some slave, okay? They got together and they said, "Thumma bada lahum min ba'di ma ra'awul ayat." After they investigated and said, "What happened? How'd you cut yourself?" Then they ra'awul ayat. They saw the ayat. They saw the signs. They realized that Yusuf didn't have nothing to do with it. These women, they did it. So that shows that all of men, not near one of them had any rujuliyah. Not near one of those 40 men had any manhood whatsoever. Their wives is running them. They put the man in jail. And Allah says, ba'dama ra'awul ayat. After they had seen the ayat and realized that Yusuf had nothing to do with this, and this was all their wives, you know, being foolish and everything like that, let's put them in jail, even though, let's put them in jail for a while till this blows over, just to save themselves the scandal. Save themselves the scandal. Okay? So first they're blaming Aziz. Now they're blaming all them. All of them is implicit in this crime of covering up the fact that not just the Aziz's wife, but all their wives are shadafa'anu, you know, are infatuated with him. Okay? وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ. Did I do too many? Can I do some more? Alhamdulillah. Yani, the point is, yes, okay. Alhamdulillah. لا لا خذيه معك. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ودخل معه السجن فتيان قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا وقال الآخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل طير منه نبئنا بتاويله إنا نراك من المحسنين. So here, وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنُ فَتَيَانِ. So as he's going into the prison, while he's being sent to prison, two young men are being sent to prison at the same time. فَتَيَانِ. The story behind this is that one of them is in charge of the food of the king. The other one is in charge of the drink of the king. And the royal taster has now tasted the food and died. Okay, so the one in charge of the food and the one in charge of the drink have both been sent to prison until they can figure out which one of them has violated the trust and allowed tried to poison the king. Okay, this goes back to further into the story, whereas the king was no longer worshiping their idols, and he was a young king. There are two Pharaohs. Who in their pyramids, there are no idols. Okay. And this is the beauty about this story too. You can even go and check. There are two Pharaoh that have no idols in their crypt. Okay. Yeah, it's called a crypt in their pyramids. The father and the son. So when the father died, the son as a young man takes over and he continues not to worship their idols. He hasn't declared any religion at this point, okay? They try to kill him. They try to poison him. So this is what's happening, and one of the two men are implicate in this thing. They don't know yet. They're going into the prison. They have the dream, okay? Both of them have a dream. So the next point is that a kafir can have a truthful dream, okay? Even though they're both kufar, they both had truthful dreams. So the principle here is that a kafir can have a truthful dream. Alhamdulillah. Next principle is that when they said inna naraka min al muhsinin, inna naraka min al muhsinin, that simatul iman yura ala wujuhihim wa ala hayatihim wa ala kalamihim, that laysa libasihim, right, that the signs of iman emanate from the face of the believer, okay, from the hay'ah, from his aura, okay, and from his speech, not his clothing. They're dressed in prison garb, okay? They're not in nice royal clothes. No, they're dressed in prison garb. But we can still see that you're one of the muhsinin, right? So, hay'ah, so this is something that is seen. Faith, iman, laysa hadha al-shubbak, laysa hadha. Aywa. Shukran. So this is seen again from your face, from the nur on your face, the brightness of your face, the calmness of your I don't know the word that I'm looking for here in English, but I'm going to say your aura, okay, your presence. Okay, it brings something to the room that others can feel, even kufar. The next principle is that when people, Muslim or non-Muslim, see someone who has this aura of ihsan about them, yalje'una ilayhim, they turn to them. Okay, they turn to jazakumullah khair, barakallahu fikum, for the words countenance and the presence. Right? Yes, your presence, right? Your countenance. Yeah. So here, people who are believers and people who are kuffar, when they are in the presence of someone who is Ahlul Ihsan, Ahlul Iman, whether they need something good or they need some justice or they need someone to, you know, answer something for them that they can't understand, they turn to the Muhsin for that. Okay? They turn to them. As you can see, the kufar here, they turn to him and they have an expectation of khair from them. You should be able to answer what we can't answer. You should be able to give us justice that we cannot get. You should be able to solve our problem. Why? Because you have iman and we can see it. We can feel it. We feel comfortable from it. I remember one time, and I'm not saying I'm a person of iman like that, but one time I was in a plane. And I was traveling, and the plane began to crash. I was in a plane crash. As the plane was going down, there was a woman, an elder woman, sitting next to me, right? And so we're going on a down, falling. She says, "You know, I'm not scared," right? I said, "Oh, really? You know, I wasn't scared either, but I don't know why I wasn't scared." But I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "No, because you're here." Okay, because I'm sitting next to you. And what do you call it? I thought that was nice. She grabbed my arm. And then the guy hit the thing and we crashed. Broke up. But we were safe and sound. Alhamdulillah. I mean, nobody was hurt. It just was a crash landing, a safe crash landing. For years, this lady sent me, like a card. Her husband would send me a card. She would send me a card, you know, and then it just stopped after a while, you know. But for years, she sent me cards and stuff like that. So this was a Kafir lady. You know, this was a Kafir lady, but, and I was dressed the way I normally am dressed and everything like that. And So she could see I was Muslim and everything like that. But she felt comfortable, you know, when the stuff was about to go down, you know. So alhamdulillah, they felt comfortable with, and they turn to the Muhsin in these hard things. This is a beautiful thing about Islam and about Iman. Okay, it brings a source of peace even to the non-Muslims. Okay, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I have to find my spot. 1 second. Okay.
Nabitawilihi inna naraka minal muhsinin.
Inform us of the meaning of this, because we see that you are what they call a muhsinin. Meaning, like I said, they expect, the rule here is they expect you to be able to answer their question, to help them. Okay. Nabitna. They didn't say please. They said, answer it for us. We could see you're a muhsinin. You got to know the answer. Okay. This is what they turned to him.
قال لا ياتيكما طعام ترزقانيه إلا نبأتكما بتأويله قبل أن ياتيكما.
So here's a lot of things that come right here. The first thing he does is he confirms to them. So it's upon the da'i or the person who has something to give. He can now tell the other people, yeah, I can do it. I'll do it before your food comes back. You know, this they call it kasb al-thiqa. It is the term that's used by some ulama. Kasb al-thiqa, to gain the trust of the listener, of the madu'u, the person. You could do it in business. You can do it as a teacher. You could do it as a prophet, okay? If you have the skill, the shart, the condition is you actually know that you can do this thing, bi'idhnillah, okay? To make them say, I can make it happen before the food comes. Second principle, he made a deal with them that you're going to give me your food. This is money in prison, okay? Food is money. So he said, yo, la ya'tikum at-ta'am turzaqunihi. You're going to give it to, you're going to provide me with your food. So it's allowed to take the asbab, the means that you need to handle your business. Even though I'm just going to answer and give them the reward, I mean, the answer that they are asking for, he can say, hey, look, give me this. You're going to give me this for that because he needs it. Whether it's to help the people who need it in the prison, as it comes in some different tafsir, that he's given this to others, or to use it to as money as they use it in prison. Wallahu a'lam. The best thing is that he's using it to help those who are sick in the prison and need extra nutrition. And these fatayan are young men. They can do without it. Okay?
إِلَّا نَبَأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا.
Then the next point is he immediately starts off with giving them tawheed. أَوَّلَ شَيْ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهَا وَتَوْحِيدٌ. He didn't give them the answer right away. He told them tawheed because they're listening. He has their attention now. He says, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. That's from the things that my Lord has taught me. So he's telling, this is where I get this from. I got this from Allah. Okay? Yes, you can take payment for services. Yes. Okay?
إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون.
He says, I have left the religion of a people who don't believe in Allah, and they are, with regards to the hereafter, كافرون. They don't believe in it. Remember, belief, he mentioned two things, belief in Allah and the Akhirah. This is not just 2 points as people think. Why did he just say Allah on the last day? Because our iman is 6 points. Belief in Allah, and the last one is belief in the hereafter, the al-akhirah. So it's like saying from head to toe, okay? Not that he gave da'wah. He called them to tawheed. It's very important. There is a difference between giving da'wah and starting with tawheed. I said he started with tawheed, and that's what our teachers told us. He started with tawheed, then he gave them da'wah, then he told them their answer. Pay attention, it's very specific. Okay? He called them to tawheedullah. Okay? ذلك مما علمني ربي إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله. That's Allah, one and only. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَتِهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And whom with regards to the hereafter, they are kafirun. Iman. And he started with belief in Allah and the last day. Why? Because that's Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the qadr of Allah, and the last day. You see that? It's from A to Z. Everything in between Allah and the last day. Okay? So that's, like I said, from A to Z, okay? When you say A to Z, what do you mean? Everything in between A to Z. From head to toe, what do you mean? You mean the head, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the tongue, and everything in between, okay? From head to toe. What do you mean when you say belief billahi wal yawm al-akhir? From belief in Allah and everything in between, okay? Which is the angels, the books, the messengers, the qadr, hulwihi, wa murrihi, and the last day. Okay? وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِيَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبُ مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. See the da'wah? He says, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ, and I have followed the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, wa Ishaq, wa Yaqub. And so this show, this the principle here is, then he called them to the religion, the millah of Ibrahim. Okay? Which is hayyun at that time. Whereas for now, we're calling to the deen of Islam. Okay? So then, not only he told them that, he called them to millah to Ibrahim. That's the next point. That's the da'wah. And he says what this also, the principle by mentioning his fathers, Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub, it shows you that he is Kareem ibn Kareem ibn Kareem. He is the son of the noble one, the son who is the son of the noble one, who's the son of the noble one. Okay? What a better parentage than that. Okay? He called him to Milat Ibrahim, and by mentioning his father, it shows the nobility of who Yusuf is. Yusuf, the prophet of Allah. That's a great stance without even mentioning his parentage. But the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet. No one has a greater nobility than Yusuf when it comes to lineage. Okay? He is the most noble. Akramu min rijal. And nasab. You know, lineage. Does that make sense? Direct son of a prophet, who's direct son of a prophet, who's direct son of a prophet. Anthony? So that's that. And he says, Makana lana an nushrika billahi min shay. It's not upon us to make shirk in any way, shape, form, or fashion. ذلك من فضل الله علينا وعلى الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. So he says here, this is not just a fadl, a favor that Allah has given us, but this is a favor on most, on every people. All the people, but most of the people are not appreciative of this. This goes back to the point why there is not the word al-kafirat in the Quran. Because as you see in Surah Yusuf, multiple times, I think three or four times, I forget the exact number, but let's say three to keep it on a, I know at least three times. Allah mentions in the Quran that most of the people are kuffar. Most of the people do shirk, right? And so, for that reason, the ulama said you don't see the word al-kafirat in the Quran, because kafirat is jam'u qilla, okay? The plural minor. And the kufar are never minor. They're always the majority. Ma'a annana mushrikeen wa mushrikat. Wal munafiqeen wal munafiqat. But la kafirun wa kafirat. Okay? There's kuwafira, which is the plural, but not the minor plural. Like waraqat is a few pieces of pages, and awraq is a bunch of paper. Okay, well, waraqa is one paper. So again, this ayah points to reemphasize that point, right? He says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. They don't appreciate it. Okay? يَا صَاحِبَيِّ السِّجْنِ أأرباب المتفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار. Again, he's still calling them to Tawheed. Oh, my two companions of the prison. And so not just is calling them to Tawheed, he's calling them to with a logical proof. What is he using? A logical proof. A proof that the intellect cannot reject. There are three types of statements in the world, and only three types of statements. There is a legal statement. Okay, a legal statement is a statement that Allah or his messenger has said. All you have to confirm is that Allah has said it and his messenger said it, then it's a legal statement. Establish the salah. Okay, the second type of statement is a logical statement, a statement that the intellect cannot reject. You were only given birth by one woman. Only one woman did you come out of. Okay, a car goes forwards and backwards, not sideways. Okay, the intellect cannot reject. Two men got in a car accident. One died, one didn't. Okay, it's a logical proof. The intellect cannot reject it. And the third one is an empirical or a researchable proof. Okay, this is something that we can research. Electricity is flowing through the light bulb, right? Or there are insects inside the light bulb that if you open up, they'll come out and they'll and then they make that light come, right? We can research that and find out. So those are, there's no four types of statements. There's only three types of statements. Okay? The Quran is filled with these three types of statements. Researchable, logical, and legal. That's what the Quran is filled with. So here, he's giving them logical proofs. He says, Ya sahibay yasijin, a'arbabun mutafarriquna khayrun am Allahul wahidul qahhar. Okay, are multiple arbab, and they understand, he uses the word arbab, using rububiyyah. Okay, he's dealing with the rububiyyah. They know what a lord is. They've been slaves, they're servants. Having multiple bosses, having multiple lords over you, mutafarriqun, is that better for you? Amillah, or having one, wahidul qahhar, one and only, irresistible. This makes logical sense to me. I want one boss. Not 15, 10, 20, not even two. Tell me different things to do, and I get in trouble both ways. Right? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. Now he hits them with a what? A researchable proof. You're not worshiping. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. You only worship things that you made up. This, you made those names up. Antum wa abakum. You and your fathers, y'all made up the names of these gods. They can research that. That's researchable. It may not be logical. It's not a legal point, but it's definitely researchable. He's hitting them. Logical, then researchable. They find out he's right. They made up this name. Okay? مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. Allah has said no authority for this. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Okay, the principle here, we get the next principle is that the hukm, the authority, the rule is totally and only for Allah. That's what we get out of this particular ayah. Okay?
أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا.
He has commanded that there should be nothing worshipped except himself directly. إِيَّا. The word إِيَّا, إِيَّاكَ وَإِيَّاهُمْ وَإِيَّاهُ, it means him directly, you and only you. Okay, that's why إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُوا وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. So the lataif here, the principle here is the fact that he said إِيَّا, and this is pointing to the tawheed of Allah and singling out Allah in a very specific way. Just reflect on the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you and only you. So he says أَمَرَ, he has commanded that none should be worshipped except إِيَّا, him and only him alone. That's how you could say it. Him and only him alone. Okay? So that's on top of, and no one should be worshipped except. So this is none of the lata'if that we're getting here. I hope you're catching all the ones. I think you're missing some. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. The next principle is that this is worshiping Allah and only Allah alone is the deenul qayyim. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ هُنَفَاءَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمِ. This is the upright deen, the deen that will qayyim, keep you upright, straighten you out. It is straight and will straighten you out. Okay? And this is the word qayyim is what we use in Surah Al-Fatiha for mustaqim. Okay? Mustaqim, the deen that the path that is straight and will straighten out, the deen that is qayyim, upright and will make you upright. That's what deenul qayyim is intending here. So to worship Allah, tawheed and only Allah, singling out Allah, right, is the essence of the deen. Okay, and the and keeping getting someone to be upright and not worshiping other gods, including their own self. That's the next principle. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Again, remember I said, whether again, most people don't know. This is re-emphasizing the point that the kuffar are always going to be in the majority. We've done it twice or maybe three times already. Okay? Not straight deen. This is why people get mixed up, because the English does not articulate it in a word for word. I didn't say straight deen. That means nothing in English. This is the straight deen. What does that mean? Okay, it is upright and will make you upright. Okay, it is the straight and narrow, not narrow, right? Straight and wide way. Okay, there's a lot of room in there. You can't say it's too narrow, right? It's wide, smooth, downhill all the way, right? Easy going. And by staying on it, it will straighten you out and make you upright. It is the dignified way. No, don't do a one-word thing with the Arabic words, because the Arabic is a richer language and English is not. So you need more English words to articulate one concept in the Arabic language. Okay? And then add to that, this is the Quran. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. That's how he begins it. So he says, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most people are kufar. Re-emphasizing the point, write it down, is another principle here. We inside the fire, most this ayah shows, that's part of the ayah shows that most people are kuffar and they don't know the beauty of Islam. Okay? Most people, walakinna aktara nas la ya'lamun, they have no knowledge. They're engulfed in their kufr and they have no knowledge about it. Ya sahiba yasidna, amma ahadukuma fayasqi rabbahu khamra. Now he gives the answer to him. One of you is going to go back to his job. And as for the other one, فَيُسْلَبْ, he will be crucified. يُسْلَبْ فَتَأْكُلُ مِنْ طَيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِ. And so the birds will eat from his head, poke his eyes out and eat him. He told him straight up, this is what it is. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. Okay, so here, we're going to stop here. Well, I'm going to do one more ayah, then we'll stop. It's a very important point right here. The point is this. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. The ulama said about this particular ayah, some very important things to pay attention to, because people don't pay attention to this point. Number one, answering dreams, interpreting dreams is a fatwa. Okay? This will be reemphasized in this particular surah. Answering and saying what a dream means is giving a fatwa. He said, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, that you all are seeking a fatwa from. That's one. Number two, it is haram for someone to give a fatwa when they don't have knowledge. So it is haram for a person to, let me try. Tell me the dream. And narrate it to me. I'm going to try to interpret it. It's haram to give a fatwa when you know you don't have the knowledge. If you haven't studied this particular thing, you have no knowledge of it. That's the second thing. So you should not try to seek to give a fatwa on a person's dream. The exception, they say, is between husband and wife, father and child. The exception. When a child comes to you to ask you about his dream, or your husband or wife come and they tell you the dream, then the Prophet ﷺ has said about this that you should try to twist it in a way to make it a good thing, okay, for them, and not give a negative pronunciation of it. So this would stop a lot of the voodoo in Islam. There is voodoo in Islam. There are people who are going around saying, oh, come to me and tell me your dreams. And then they do the same thing that the soothsayer does. You know, sometimes when I see the spots, I think about I'm on Nostrand Avenue back in the 80s. And they got this spot. And the lady got the red thing. And she's up there looking like, Cheap Kimar and everything. And they're like, okay, oh, your uncle, he just died last month. Oh, he just said, take care of so-and-so. You know, Muslims are doing this now. Doing the same thing. Come sit on my lap. Let me give you ruqya. Or let me, you don't got to give me ruqya. I can recite Quran too. Now, unless the person is incapacitated and they need somebody else to give ruqya. And the Sahaba disagreed even on that. But I don't want to get inside that particular issue too much. The point is that we're going overboard sometimes with these things that we're supposed to be doing ourselves. Okay? Let me get back onto the point. The point is that interpreting dreams is a fatwa, and you cannot give a fatwa without knowledge. The next thing is, وَقَالَ الَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا أَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرُ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Okay, so he said to the one who he knew was going to be released, mention me with your Lord. Okay, so again, this particular point that ulama say, you can take by the asbab, you can take by the means of getting your rights done, because he wants to get out of prison, right? So he said, oh, mention me to your what, even if we are in some type of situation, you need some help, you did somebody a favor, hey man, look out for me, do this, you can do that. It's not wrong to do that. Okay, you can take by the means to get your rights or something you want. You know, you can ask people to help you like that. This is not shirk. Okay, nor is it wrong. Oh, you did this for me. Now you want me to do you a favor? Yeah. Yeah, I'd like you to do me a favor. You wanted me to do you a favor, right? I mean, it's not that if you could have done me the favor without me doing the favor, I can do it too. You know, I would have liked that as well. I must curve it. I didn't get to read that. I'll see it in a moment, inshallah ta'ala. But you can seek the ways of the world to get your rights or to try to get things done, especially if you have no other way of doing it. Okay? That's bad. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So Allah shows that shaytan is the one that makes people forget. وَمَا أَنْسَانِهِ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَنْ أَذْكُرَ. Allah mentions in Surah Kahf as well. And here it mentions فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So this re-emphasizes or emphasizes the point that shaytan is the one that causes forgetfulness. Okay, write that principle down. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. And we could even add to that, أَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. The shaytan specifically doesn't like us. And you know, the point here is he's mentioning him to his Lord, meaning the king. But shaitan always wants us to forget our real Lord, who is Allah. Okay? So this is one of the things that we should know. Alhamdulillah, I went back and I asked about this particular point because I was at a loss for a moment. Why we in Mauritania, we say bid'ah says that it's more than 7 years, less than no more than nine, never 10. But in all the different tafsir, when I was listening to some of the other different ulama, they were saying that he stayed in prison 10 years. Okay? At least 10 years, they said. At least. Some of them were saying that. At least 10 years. So I said, man, you know, there has to be a reason for this. And so then when I went back and I asked Khalid Sabti, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Khalid Sabti made a very interesting point. You don't know how long he had been in the prison before he asked them to do this, okay? Whether the boys, the young men had the dream, you know, the first year or the first week or the first day. But he had already been in the prison for some period of time when he told them, when the result of them getting out of the prison came, well, the one that got out, when that came, that investigation was over. Maybe it was a year later. Maybe it was 2 years later. Okay. But once he left, that's when he told them, mention me to your Lord. Okay. When you're going now, remember I helped you out, mention me to your Lord. So from that point on, he spent another bid'asineen. Okay? So you add that to how much time he had already been in the prison, and it equates to 10 or more years. Beautiful ta'wil. Alhamdulillah. So I felt much better with understanding that. I hope that makes sense. So he spent close to 10 years in prison after the guy got out. Okay, so write that down as a prison, because he made him forget. And we'll stop here. That's why I intended to stop, because it's a new Khalid Septi. Who is Khalid Septi? Sheikh Khalid Septi is the one who wrote the book that you have in your house called Qawa'id al-Tafsir. Sheikh Khalid Septi. That's who Sheikh Khalid Septi is. He's the one that put all the principles from about 50 books of tafsir. I would say, I'm going to say at least 50 books of tafsir, because I remember. At least 50 books of tafsir. He put the qawa'id, and he put them into one book. And he called it Qawa'id al-Tafsir, and he got his PhD on that one. I think he got his PhD or his master's at that time, but he's got his PhD now. And he also did the tahqiq to Ibn Kathir. I'm sure you have more than one of his books in your house, Sheikh, because I know you have Qawa'id al-Tafsir, and I know we were together one time when we got another one of his books over there in Umm al-Qura University in Medina. No, not Medina, in Mecca. Sure. That's what I have to mention for you guys today. Alhamdulillah, subhanakallahumma. If I have any questions, I'll accept them. If there's no questions, alhamdulillah. What number are we up to? How many did we do? How many principles did I cover today? Go ahead, Ms. Sukhna Yasin. ¿87 already? Alhamdulillah. I'm glad. Alhamdulillah. Because we're not even there. Alhamdulillah. What's the name? One of the shiuk said there's 1,000. Okay? When I was reading somewhere, he said there's 1,000 principles that you can pull from here. Okay? I said, I know I can pull more than 100, at least 100. So I started with 100. I'm going to get you guys 100. So I know I'm going to get those, inshallah ta'ala. Yusuf, the woman seemed like they saw him for the first time. But this, okay, let me try to do something here. Excuse me. I'm not giving time. Thank you. Okay. Under what category would you put that? What is this? Hold on first. I missed a few. What is your opinion about dua? About a dua? What dua? Okay, so the woman seemed like they saw him for the first time. Does this mean he did not use to get out of the house? No, it doesn't mean that he didn't use to get out of the house, but it means that they didn't know him. You get my point? They did not. They probably didn't see him before, or they didn't know him. So, or they saw him as he was a boy when he was going around, because he was going around with the wife of the Aziz as a child. Remember, they also gave him his education there too. So he's got tutors. He learned how to sword fight. He did so many different things while he was there that was normal for the aristocrats. So I'm sure they might have seen him before, but not as a grown man. Because remember when she fell in love with him and became infatuated when he reached Balaga Ashuddahu, when he became a grown man. You know, and the Mufassirun said this after 10 years of growing up there. He'd been there for 10 years, so he's 20 years old now. When you see a guy when he's 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, he looks a lot different than when he's 20 years old. Okay? So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. That's how I understand that. Madiha. Okay. Miss Madiha, how can women save themselves from getting into plotting for their own benefits? Okay, everybody, men and women, can number one, mind your business. What does that mean by mind your business? That means don't follow what other people are doing? No. Mind. Put your mind into your business. What is it that you have to do? If we, myself included, would spend more time focused on just the things we say we want to get done, we would have very little time, if not zero time, to fall victim to plots and external things like that, you know? So if we would just, I have this thing on my phone, not my phone, on my YouTube, that's like, you hit a button and you say, you're going to see it, you'll watch later. That's what it's called, watch later. I got things that I've been on there for watch later that are like 10 years old that I've never watched later. You know, I'm not minding my business. I should be going through that. And if I'm not going to watch it later, get rid of it. I should be busy doing it. I've got so many different things and manuscripts that I've got half written and things that I have written that I have to edit. We got work to do. Mind your business. And if we do that, how much time do we have? Sir, I'm busy right now. Ma'am, I'm busy right now. You know, did you hear about the latest and the greatest? Nope. You know, it's not going to help me. That's what I'm talking about. And also, what do you call it? Ista'ana billah. Like we saw what Yusuf did here. Turn to Allah whenever it comes. And it's going to come out again. Nazaga shaytani fasta'idh billah. Immediately turn to Allah. Okay? Just think about Yusuf running. Hook, tail, and run. Shh, get out of there. Okay? And if you can't physically, dua. Not that you have to even raise your hands to make dua, but you can. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Wa alaikum salam, Abdullah. I had a question about the Warrior Scholar Program. Should I talk to you personally or ask here? I just wanted to know some general information. No, there's no general information for here for that because the timing, you know, we try to hit this early in the morning and try to get people in and out. But you can even hit me personally is sometimes difficult during Ramadan specifically. But hit me anyway, and I'm going to send you something. I'm going to send you to Colonel Saad, and he can answer all your questions. Okay? All the questions you need for a Warrior Scholar, inshallah. Just to let you know, Nala gave. Oh, mashallah. Hey, see, you just telling me that right now. I want to see what the baby looks like. So, alhamdulillah. I mean, Allahumma barak feek. Allahumma barak feek. Allahumma barak feek. Mashallah. Allahumma barak feek. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, mashallah. If it was asked a question, what about dua? I believe that we should learn the dua and try to constantly be in a state of dua. Dua, by that, I mean, there's two in my opinion, when we mention dua, we mean two things, dua and dhikrullah. Dua and even dhikrullah is statements of acknowledgments. They call it litanies in English language. A litany is not where you're asking for something, but you're acknowledging something, like saying Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm not asking for anything, right? But this is considered a litany, a dhikr, a type of dua. And it's under the same title of Adiyatu wal Adhkar. They're put together in the same thing. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is acknowledgement. Okay. Allahu Akbar. These things, tatma'in al-qulub, they settle the heart. They firm the feet. They are used as forms of protection, you know, to call on Allah to protect us. Nothing protects us but Allah. So not even the words. We're making the dua and Allah brings the shifa. Like this. So that's like a little subtle thing. So alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. You said that there are three types of statements. Okay, well, except, okay, now we're getting into balagha. Of course, Satan's going to bring this out. I was holding my breath because I was going to say, somebody's going to say, what about statements of istijab? Okay, meaning, you know, ma'ajmalaha, okay, and things like that. No, this is separate to that. We're talking about statements, not statements of isti'jab or questions. Those questions, statements of isti'jab, you know, adiyah are considered insha. That's something different. Okay? But akhbar, statements that people are making, as we call them, al-khabar, wal insha'. In balaga, there's an issue called khabar wal balag. I'm sorry, khabar wal insha'. Sheikh Saif is talking about insha', and that statement is like, wow. Or we would say subhanallah. Or I have a question. How many? Now I have a question. Is it khabar? How many? Blah 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 blah. That's something different. You get my point? So I'm not talking about insha'u. I didn't want to confuse the people, but I figured somebody was saying, well, when they study balaga, they're going to say, hey, Abu Tawab, what's Abu talking about? Abu Tawab was talking about khabar. Three types of khabar. Okay? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And that's to show people that when it comes to speech in balaga, it's of two types. Insha'u and khabar. I'm talking about akhbar, which is khabar, information. Okay? As for insha'u, these are statements that are made where you're not telling the truth. You're asking a question. You're saying an amazement like that. And so an amazement is not to be judged like that. And a question is not true or false. It's a question. So it doesn't fall under the same three types, like I said. I hope that answers the question. You just wanted my opinion. Yeah, right. All right. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Ya Sheikh Saif, your baby. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Your grandfather now. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Again. Your grandfather again. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barak fikum wa Allahumma barak fi kulli nas huna. I hope that you guys are having a great time. We're in the last days of Ramadan. Ramadan came very, very like a strong wind. And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, barakallahu fina. May Allah allow us to enjoy the remaining days and nights of Ramadan. Don't let your days mess up your nights. Don't let your nights mess up your days. Balance yourself out. Spend time. If you can't do anything else, spend time with Suratul Yusuf. Okay, spend time with Suratul Yusuf. Okay, this is my da'wah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum.